Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Guys, how are we all doing this week, given the devastating news, obviously, that we got last week? We lost our friend and writer, Philip Reed. You'll no doubt have heard by now if you watch our stuff and have been paying attention to our social media feeds. But unfortunately, he passed away last week. It's been an incredibly tough week for the team.
Yeah.
But obviously, we're thrilled to have you back, Peter.
Thank you.
Because you've been on your honeymoon, which is really exciting.
Yeah. No, I had a really good time getting married and being on my honeymoon. And so that was all very nice. And then, obviously, we've come back and we've now got news to deal with and so on and so forth. So there's a bit of a mixture of things have happened, clearly. But, you know, at least the best thing to do in situations like this is try and celebrate someone's memory rather than worry too much about the sad aspect of it. Yeah, we are, in fact, if you'll allow me to jump ahead just while we're on the topic.
You go ahead.
We're sponsored each and every week on this podcast, and this week we're sponsored by our charity drive, triplejuu.mp. that's triplejuu.mp/charity. You can go and donate to our fundraiser for the Trevor Project, which is an LGBTQ plus charity that Philip was very keen on. It was close to his heart. So we thought, what better way to, as I say, celebrate his memory than to raise some money for that charity. So you can go and donate now.
Absolutely. We've been raising money all of this week. And obviously, we're recording on Thursday before we've even done our joint stream. Ooh, the screen went black for a second there on the video recording. Hopefully that's fine. But it's been going really well so far, hasn't it, Ashton?
Yeah, we've smashed our goals. Like, well, we've had some really nice people reach out and retweet our post. Nintendo Life that Philip used to work for, they retweeted and did a really nice article about him.
Yeah.
Tiltify retweeted the tweet. So we had some really big donations when we weren't even streaming. Yeah. And we managed to smash like all of our goals. And so far we've got like $2,700 that we've raised, which is an amazing amount.
That's the time of recording.
Yes. Yeah. And we've still got two streams left and you can still donate right now. So there's still time to donate if this is the first time you're hearing about it and fancy helping us out in honouring Philip's memory and donating to a charity that he really, really loved.
Absolutely. So. And you will continue to have time to donate. We're not closing down the charity page. So at any point when you're listening to this or watching this, you can go to triplejuu.mp/charity. Give what you can, if you're able to, in memory of a fantastic man who we dearly miss. We are, of course, also available on Patreon. If you want to support us there, we would prefer this week that you go and support the charity that we've decided to support, but you will get access to asking questions. Oh, we've frozen.
That's fun. I look really pleased.
It's a good thing you noticed. Hang on. If you're listening, the video has frozen. If you just press the I symbol, that's it. And then are we? No? Okay. If you click on it and then deactivate and then reactivate it, That seems to have done it. We're back. Oh, it's so good. Technology is great.
This works.
I watched it happen. I glanced over.
Oh, it's a good thing you noticed, because I was looking at them, so I wouldn't have seen. But yes, we would prefer, obviously, you go to triplejump.mp/charity this week as a priority. But if you do want to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/teamtriplejump, you get access to asking questions on this podcast, which we'll get to in a minute, as well as loads of other rewards as well. But please do go and donate as a priority if you have the disposable income to do that, to a fantastic cause that, as Peter said, was very close to Philip's heart. Yeah. And bear in mind that if you need any assistance or help at all, or if this affects you in any way, there will be some helplines in the comments below if you're watching the video. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you are struggling, talk to friends, talk to family, reach out to relevant charities. They are there to help you and they will support you if you're struggling with anything. And never forget that.
And on the other side, we should all be checking in with our friends as and when we can.
Absolutely.
Because some people really have this veneer of positivity and things are going on under the surface. So you should check in on people if you can do.
Absolutely. Mm. Check on your boys and your girls and your others. Make sure they're doing okay. I think it's time for question one.
Yes. It's from Cameron Keywood, who, excuse me, by the way, being a bit stuffy. I feel fine, but I still sound bad. It's from Cameron Keywood, who says, "Hello, Bap. I just want to pass on my condolences for your loss. And if you feel able to, discuss your positive memories of Philip and some of his list features and your general interactions with him."
Thank you, Cameron. I would like to say quickly that this is obviously a very hard and difficult time for all of us. But Philip, and this, I suppose, is part of an answer to the question. Philip loved writing for Triple Jump.
Absolutely,
and he loved what he did with us and what we
and
were
he
doing.
He was so good at it.
He was
so
phenomenal good. At it. Yeah. And while the start to this podcast, this whole podcast really is in memory of him, that we will sort of get on more to sort of the video game side of things. So if you feel like this episode is perhaps going to be a bit of a heavy listen and you're feeling inclined to skip it, obviously do that. But do be aware that we are going to get back to the kind of stuff that Philip would have wanted us to focus on.
Yes.
which is the games shortly, but I'm sure you understand that we want to honor him and remember him, at least to start with. So I was the person that Philip reported to, his line manager, so I spoke to Philip a lot in regard to particularly the ranked scripts that he wrote, because that's where you'll probably know Philip from the most, is his amazing ranked scripts that he wrote. And he was just so good at the research. Like, he would come up with stuff that it was such an education, not only for people watching at home, but for us as well. The stuff that he would be able to dig up was unbelievable. And in fact, when he made an appearance on this podcast, I think in 2020, we were talking about it and we agreed that perhaps the most important thing about those ranked lists isn't, because obviously it has the hook of being a ranked list, like what's going to be the worst game, what's going to be the best game.
Yeah.
But the most important thing to us was the fact that there was, for in most cases the first time ever, a definitive cataloging of every single of a game in a franchise or a character or that kind of stuff, a real educational tool, regardless of where the placements were. Those were not really that important. It was more, hey, did you know that there was some kind of Sonic popcorn machine that had a video game in it? I bloody didn't. Really fascinating stuff. So not only in that aspect was he amazing, but he was able to deliver that information in such an entertaining and funny way. I'm sure most of you watching / listening have caught at least one of our ranked lists, and you'll be very familiar with his writing style. I had to do like no changes whenever I was checking his script. They always came through almost perfectly. The only slight change that I would tell him about that I would always make is, because he was American, he would use occasional American phrases. And I'm like, that sounds weird coming out of Peter and my mouth. So I'd switch those up a bit. But he was phenomenal. And of course, he looked after the freelance writers as well. And they're all deeply affected by this news too, because he was there to coach them through and develop their writing abilities, and they're all incredibly thankful for the impact that they had on all of their careers, because he was so patient and kind, and he could give advice from a real position of experience and authority.
So he was
amazing, not just at the, and that's just talking about his job as well, but he was also just a lovely man, just such a lovely man. Don't know if you guys have any particular interactions you wanted to share.
When I first started, obviously I went from being just a little regular person, suddenly 200,000 people were like, who's this chick? Mm. And it was quite a weird kind of transition. And every time that I'd even express even the slightest bit of sadness or like uncomfortableness on Twitter or anywhere, Philip was like straight in my DMs, just writing the most eloquent way of being like, you're nice, you're great, I like you, everyone likes you. Just like in such a nice way. And regardless of like what it was, even if it was like the smallest thing, he'd still appear and be like, just so you know, everyone really likes you and everyone I spoke to really likes you. And I'm like, Philip, please, I can't take this. My head can only get so big. Even when I said I couldn't read Roman numerals, he was so nice. He reached out and I was like, honestly, it's just because I'm an idiot. And he was like, no, I will make sure this never happens again.
He messaged me immediately afterwards and we agreed that from then on, every script would have a little comment bubble to the side that said what the Roman numerals were.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that is in effect now.
Yeah. So. He just was just the kindest man and like would give anything to make sure that no one else was ever feeling even the slightest bit sad. And he'd be in the Discord and like catching up with people occasionally and talking to people about his rank list. And he just was just a really nice guy. And when people found out, everyone who'd ever interacted with him was just like, he just was the nicest man and he just deserved a lot. And it's just such a shame because, like I say, he would never let anyone else feel bad or even slightly dejected. So it's just a big shame that we've lost like a guy that was such a light.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say about him as well. That's like my main, when I think of like Philip and the way he was, it's that he would be clearly at home watching a VOD or like listening to the podcast or something. And then he would like message me directly about something that had just happened in whatever he was watching. Like at one point, I don't know if it was a VOD or a podcast, but I just said something about like, this was actually one of my last conversations with Philip. It wasn't the last conversation, but it was in the lead up to my wedding. And I'd said on some bit of content that like, yeah, I don't want to like, you know, I kind of want to like have a bit of separation between, you know, I don't want to like put my whole wedding out on social media or whatever. And then I think I must have just sort of said something in effect to the effect of like, oh, not that I don't want to like be rude about it or whatever. I kind of just sort of doubted myself over something. Mm. And immediately Philip's like watching this at home and he took to DMs and he was like, by the way, I just want you to know, I think it came across exactly as you meant it to come across. Oh. And like, you shouldn't feel that like you were being rude about the listeners or whatever. And it's things like that. Like I remember other occasions as well where you would say something on video and then you would get a message, or you'd say on social media and you would get a message from Philip. And you know, that's why in particular I feel like he is a very good example of doing what everyone should be doing, which is like reaching out to the people you care about and checking in on them and making sure they're okay. He was like so good at that. And I'm really pleased as well that it was probably before you were here, Ashton, but Ben and I have copies of his Resident Evil book that he signed.
Yes. I was about to talk about his book.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm just glad to have something that not only did he write a very good book, and that's great for him, but to have a book that he's written a message inside. And so that's something that we've got now to keep forever, which is great.
Absolutely. Boss Fight Books. If you're interested in reading Philip's Resident Evil 1 book, it was, I think I'm safe in saying, his favorite game.
Yeah.
He loved Resident Evil, and so much so that he wrote a book about it. And he did that while he was writing for us. He sort of managed to juggle the two things. That book is available now. It's really insightful and really interesting. He tries to track down like all of the actors who appear in the strange FMV cutscene at the start of the Resident Evil on PS1. Like he tries to find them because most of them were just people who were in Japan at the time. They're not actors. And through various means, he tried to track them down and talk to them about their experiences and stuff. Really interesting book. I thoroughly recommend people buy it and give it a read. Obviously, Boss Fight Books. reached out to me actually shortly after learning about his passing, just to offer condolences to. That's another community that he touched. The Resident Evil community, I think, as well. He was quite involved in some quite prolific streamers and some podcasts and stuff, expressing their condolences.
He also was with he did a presentation on is it LI Retro or LE Retro?
Oh yeah, we did the Worst Games Ever episode, didn't we? Live.
They tweeted about him as well, said, I think they must have put a link in there because I found myself watching this talk he'd done about Resident Evil 1 and kind of the way that they'd he was doing actually no, it was a side by side of sorry it was Resi 2 and the remake. And the bit that I was watching was where he was comparing the introduction of the liquor and how they changed it in the other one. And it was talking about the crafting of the scares and the horror and stuff like that. It was really interesting, actually.
Yeah, he really knew his stuff. And that's probably why you can tell we did so many Resident Evil ranked lists, just because it was so in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
He was very passionate about that game. At the time of recording, it's Thursday morning, and we're doing the joint stream this afternoon, and we're going to be doing a one-off where we play through the game, the re-release, the PS4 re-release of the GameCube remake of Resident Evil 1.
Yes.
If that makes sense to people. So, yeah, we won't be continuing that playthrough, but this week we thought it was the best choice to play that. But he's an amazing man, and we'll really miss him. We ask that again, if you're able to donate, please do so. And it feels weird to condense, almost clinical, to condense giving our thoughts about a human being that was so important to us to question one of this podcast, and then moving on to something else. But just know that he was so important to us. And all week long, we've been trying to express what a person means to you in that way. So if you can donate, please do. And go check out the VODs as well, where we were raising money all of this week. And look after yourselves, I suppose, more than anything else. But for now, as Philip would have wanted, we will move on to talking about video games, and in particular, what we play in. It's what we play in time to talk about what video games we have been playing. Peter, you've famously had a lot of free time recently.
I have.
How many video games have you played?
So I've not been on a podcast for 2 weeks, and in that time I've played zero video games. I will have, by the time this goes out, I will have started Stray, which I'm very much looking forward to. But since coming back from honeymoon, which was on Sunday, time of record, Sunday just gone, I've basically spent the next few nights just sort of sorting our lives out. And we left the house in such a mess as well, because we were getting ready to go down to West Yorkshire to get married, and we had a load of the stuff in the house, and we were packing it all in the car, and then we were just thinking I bet we've forgotten something really important. And Amy kept saying, she was like, please don't let me forget my dress. Don't let me forget. I was like, you're not going to forget your dress. And she's like, I will forget my dress if you don't stop me. So we're worrying so much about everything that we kind of just tore the house apart to make sure there was nothing hiding in a cupboard or something. And then we were like, oh, we've really got to go. It's 10 p.m. It's a 2.5 hour drive. Don't want to turn up at my parents' house at midnight. So, we left the house like a bomb tip. A bomb tip. That's a combination. It's when they dropped a bomb.
It's so bad.
On a tip. So since then, I've been kind of just tidying the house and just sorting things out, writing thank you cards and stuff. So I've not really had any time at all, even though I've been back now for a few days to play games. But I am really looking forward to Stray. Tempted to use that Spyro mod that about 6 people tweeted to me. Have you seen that?
Oh, no, I haven't.
You can just replace the cat with Spyro.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I don't think I would want to do that for my first run anyway. If I ever streamed Stray, then maybe I would do a Spyro one. But no, so I probably will have played that by the time the podcast goes out. For now, nothing, I'm afraid. Oh. I'm trying to think if I played any, any games while I was away, Wii games or whatever with family, but no, I don't think I did anything like that. Just didn't have the time.
Just focusing on being married.
Being married. Yeah. Boring.
Boring.
There were lawn games at the wedding, but it was a bit damp, wasn't
it? Were there lawn games?
Well, it didn't help that they, you know, when, you know, the grass bit outside where Mikey went out and
injured himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently they were put out there. I think when everyone arrived, they were supposed to be there on arrival so people could play them while you were waiting for the happy couple.
You're talking your croquets, your balls.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Okay. We didn't have croquet because you can't put spikes in the ground at that venue. But balls was there. Okay. Big Jenga.
Big Jenga's a big good Jenga. One. Yeah.
And something else as well.
Chunga.
Ring toss. Big Chungus, yes. But they were supposed to be there, but because it was like a bit drizzly on arrival, they had them indoors. And then pretty much as people were coming indoors, when the rain stopped, they then moved them outside. And then I only saw them, not even at the end of the day. I didn't see them until the next day when we came to take the place down. They were still just sitting in a basket on the grass outside. So
damn.
Yeah, a bit annoying, really. But
me and Mikey made our own lawn games by fighting on the front lawn of your wedding venue.
Actually, yeah, that's where it was. It was the front lawn. But not till
later on. And then we walked
inside,
and someone who I'd met that night was like, "What are you guys doing out there?" And I was like, "Fighting." And she was like, "Okay."
It's just context.
No context.
Don't worry about it.
Just fighting.
Yeah, just fighting.
Yeah.
Good. Well, so those are the games I've been playing. None.
Excellent.
None.
Ashton, what have you been playing?
I can't remember if I'd finished Stray when we did the last podcast.
I can't remember either.
No, I can't remember. But I have finished Stray and I did a little cry when I finished it.
I remember you saying that, so you must have said it.
I must have said it. I must have finished it last week. Okay. But apart from that, I've played a lot of Power Washing Simulator.
Right.
Still.
Yeah.
Brain off, head empty, just play Power Wash Sim. That's all I've done. And I didn't play much over the weekend because my boyfriend came up because I had a big cry and he was like, "I'm coming." I was like, "Thank you." And then so we've played a little bit of Escape Academy on Xbox Game Pass, which is like a split screen escape room game that you can play local or online. And it's really good. I've really enjoyed it. We've played like maybe an hour to 2 hours of it. At one point, I did need a notepad and then I hadn't been writing things down. And Ben was like, what's the code? And I was like, I don't know. I wasn't writing things down. I didn't write anything down. So we have been playing that. So that's really good. If you're looking for a two-player game, I highly recommend Escape Academy on Xbox Game Pass.
Nice.
And then I've played quite a lot of Two Point Campus this week. We got early access to it on Monday. And I've pretty much just played that this week. It's been really good. I really like it.
Excellent.
There's like, I thought there was only going to be four levels because it only showed me four levels at the beginning, but I think there might be more than four like levels with actual kind of goals, because I think once I finish all of those, I probably won't continue playing it because I just can't really get into sandbox games because I just don't have the like brain space to build my own university from scratch and not have any goals. So, but I really like it. I think it's really good. I think if you've enjoyed Two Point Hospital, you really enjoy Two Point Campus. I have encountered a bunch of bugs as I've got further into the game. At one point, I got this like pop-up that was like, item can be upgraded to level upgrade by paying amount of money. And I was like... It doesn't feel quite correct.
In like square brackets.
Yeah.
Like,
there should be
good.
There should be information here.
Value.
But there's not. Yeah. So, I've encountered a couple of bugs with Two Point Campus, but nothing too game breaking. But that's what I've been playing this week. A lot of life simulation, and I don't know why I'm so into Power Washing Simulator. I don't know why.
It's just easy.
It
keeps you busy, right?
It is, yeah.
Satisfying.
Satisfying. Just like power washing like a helicopter.
Yeah.
Sitting there.
That's why. I mean, you say you don't have the brain power for to build a university. It's because you've spent it all just
power washing.
Got to keep that chopper clean.
Exactly.
If you power wash the blades at a certain angle, do they spin really fast? And does it take off?
No, that would be good. That doesn't happen.
Can you aim the power washer downwards and jetpack away?
I haven't tried, but I highly doubt it.
Get back to us on that.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll check. I'll check tomorrow. What have you been playing?
I've played a few things. I've been playing some Dark Souls 2 outside of my streams just because I am so horribly out of practice with Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls in general. But Dark Souls 2 is like, as I've spoken about before, like the weird stepchild of the other Dark Souls games, where like a lot of the mechanics are just sort of, why? Why have you done it this way? Why, when I use an Estes flask, do I have to come to a complete stop and then the health slowly refills instead of you slow to a walk, but the health refills almost instantly, practically rendering it useless when you're in a combat situation, because when you have to completely stop to heal yourself slowly, things hit you and kill you anyway. Or you heal yourself, you successfully drink, and as it slowly starts to fill again, something manages to hit you before you're allowed to move again, which kills you anyway. Not a fan of that. Iframes aren't that great when you're rolling either. Sometimes you'll just take damage when something swings at you when you roll through it, which is fine, but your character doesn't react. Like, your character won't stagger or anything, but you'll see your health bar go down. You'll be like, what the, what?
Right.
What? Come on. So, you know, it's a bit cool. It's cool. I should clarify that I loved Dark Souls 2 when it came out. And I did end up getting the platinum trophy in it. So I was quite accomplished at it once upon a time.
You've been spoiled.
I've been spoiled by significantly better FromSoft Soulsborne games ever since, I think. And so I needed to get some extra practice in. And I also definitely needed to grind some levels out because, well, the first stream was a bit of a rough one. Did a lot of dying. But I'm proud to say that this week's stream went a lot better and we killed some bosses. And that was because I was able to do some practice, I think, in my spare time. I also finally installed like the Xbox app on my phone, which is like a big step for me as a lifelong PlayStation guy. This was like a couple of weeks ago I installed the app. But I was looking through... So to add friends on Xbox...
I don't know how you do it.
I know how you do it, but it doesn't send a request. You just add them and they're just there. And right. That doesn't seem right. But I was going through James Jenkins' friends list and like, do I know that? Yeah, I do know that person. There's MB, I'll add him. There's Kieran. There's Andrew from Cultaholic. And there's Kat. And I was just sort of adding all these names that I kind of recognized. So I was going through and sorting that. And then it popped up and said, why not sign up for Xbox Rewards, where you can get points and then you can exchange it for like currency and, you know, a month of Game Pass and stuff. And it's like, sure, why the hell not? I'm never in a million years going to get enough points to ever redeem it, but I'll give it a try. And it was 5 points. Play Jeweled. Why not launch Jeweled, which is just like a gem matching game.
Right. It's just Bejeweled, but without
Jeweled.
The verb.
Just Jeweled.
Yeah, ex-Jeweled. So I started it up, and boy, do I see why people sometimes die on the toilet when they just open up these apps on their phones and they just
do
stay there forever.
Do you see why I like Project Makeover so much?
No.
It's the same unfortunately, thing.
Unfortunately, I am ideologically unable to agree with you on that.
But it's
front.
The same thing. It's just a matching thing.
I played so much Candy Crush over the first lockdown.
Did you?
I like really, really got into it.
So I managed to tear myself away after like 3 or 4 levels, but I was like, cool, I got my 5 points. So that's something I played. The last thing I played, and Ashton, I'm gonna have to ask you not to speak, okay? Because otherwise we'll be here for 40
I know
hours.
What I know
okay.
What you're gonna say already.
I platinumed Wonderlands. I did it. Those Chaos Chambers, oh boy, they're not fun. I had to get to Chaos Rank 20 to get the trophy for it.
Hey, do you remember when we said last week that we'd do it together and then you didn't?
Well, I mean, in fairness, there was quite a
lot
big,
happened.
A lot happened.
I saw
yeah.
yesterday you were like, oh, if platinum did, and I was like,
hey,
oh.
I am. I left it installed. I'm ready to help you,
okay.
And I will explain why. Because I got up to Chaos Rank 17 by myself, but there's one particular boss which is Drill. It's called. It's like Dr. Yl.
Okay.
It's got 3 phases, and the second one, it does a little thing where it puts his hand up in the air sometimes and so just refills 25% of its shield. Mm. To the extent that you cannot do enough damage to it on Chaos Rank 17, where everything's harder, before it... Basically, I was there for like half an hour.
Right.
And I wasn't
returns.
Even getting to its health. Its shield just kept going up. So I called in the cavalry...
The cavalry.
I called in the Toby,
yeah.
And my friend Rashid came to my rescue. And he does listen to this podcast. And he's one of those Rashid. Lunatics who plays Borderlands and Wonderlands like just for the end game stuff. So he had this absurd character. And he backed me up and said, this is where I nearly gave up. And also, this boss is clearly, this is where it really shows that these Chaos Chambers are designed for a team of people rather than one person.
Right.
So with his help, I was able to just blast through the remaining Chaos levels I needed to get to the platinum trophy, mercifully. But I will be on hand to help you because it is not doable solo, really.
Did you do any DLCs yet?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm not interested
in
this.
That's cool. That's fine.
Because they're bad end game things and not story things. But we talked about that last week, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
For a while. So
I'll be quiet now.
We'll stop. No, I'm going to be quiet too because I have to stop talking about this game.
Your Dark Souls 2 chatter has reminded me. I know we don't normally talk about on what we're playing, the games that we've been streaming. I know you were talking about Out of Hours Practice, but
yes.
Your streaming game reminds me that the one thing I have played was a bit of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban on stream.
Okay.
And flip me, I don't like that game. And I've now given up. I'm not going to play it anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've done that was maybe the third part, I think, and I'm done with it because it's rubbish. And people told me for a long time before I played that, because I played the first two games on PS1 because I really liked those ones.
Mm.
And people were saying, you should play Prisoner of Azkaban. It's pretty good. It's quite good. And I was like, okay, you know what? It's one of my favorite films/books of the series, so I'll give it a go. So bad. I've seen a playthrough of the PC version on YouTube, and that looks way better. And now I wish that I'd played it on PC, but I don't know how I would even get that running. But PS2 version of Prisoner of Azkaban is not good. That's plays like ass, and it carried on. It kept glitching as well, which could have been because of the emulator, but they weren't like visual glitches. They were just like things weren't spawning and stuff. And then I would like reload the save and they would spawn. So
right.
I think that seems more like a programming error rather than the emulator.
The emulator. Mm. Interesting. There's so much nostalgia for those Harry Potter games. But I remember I had the first, I think everyone had the first one. Ashton, you were a big PS1 fan, weren't you?
Yeah, massive PS1 fan.
You were alive for that. And I played that one. I never played the sequel. But then I think about around the time the third one and fourth one were coming out, I was sort of aware of like game reviews and stuff. And they were just like not reviewed well at all for like consistently for the rep. But there are people who play them on YouTube and they get crazy views because people clearly like are very fond of these games. But I don't think they were ever very good.
I think I've watched my boyfriend play through one of the Harry Potter games. One where Hagrid looks like a troll.
Yeah, the
first
two.
Is that the
two,
first PS1 Hagrid?
Yeah, the PS1
The one where it's like press X to do something at the end and it's just like Voldemort just moaning like constantly.
God, what?
And right at the very last thing you do, it goes into first person. So you're like looking at Quirrell who's reaching across to you. And you have to just like mash triangle to like touch his face.
Oh.
And he's just going, No,
I hate that.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever finished the first game. I have very specific memories of having a save file at the chess bit. So I think I got right to the end and
the
then I never.
Pretty hard.
Then I don't think I ever finished it. And that save file's definitely lost now. Before we move on to the next question, Peter, I have a little quiz for you because I did this last week.
It's really fun.
But I wanted to see how you fared. So,
a quiz.
The book I'm reading currently, Console Wars, about Sega and Nintendo in the 90s.
Yes.
There's a bit in here, because most of it's told from Sega's perspective. There's a bit in here where Sega were looking to hire a new PR firm. This PR firm sent out to them sort of like a Bible of, as they call it, vid speak, which is how all gamers are going to talk, and they're going to make it happen with their amazing marketing campaign.
So is this early 90s?
Yes, this is like 93,
right?
94 maybe.
Okay.
So it is very, it's pre-PlayStation, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I've got various vid speak here.
Yeah.
And I want you to see if you can tell me what it means. Ready?
Right, yeah.
Gearlets.
Gearlets?
Yes, L-E-T-S. Gearlets.
All one word.
Yes.
Little bits of like inventory items and stuff, your gearlets.
It's the vidspeak word for gamers. Also known as gamelets, gamies, hoosies, vidiots.
Vidiots?
Yep.
That's my direction as well.
Speaklets.
Vidiots.
Cluelets or Bossaroos.
Whoa. But Gearlets gets top billing.
Gearlets
is that because
gets
of the Sega Game Gear?
Possibly.
Right.
But there's one about the Sega Game Gear later on, so I don't really know what that's about. Hedgy Wedgy.
Hedgy Wedgy is what you get when you've been sitting playing games for 3 hours.
Unfortunately, it's anything pertaining to Sonic the Hedgehog or to any fan of said Sonic the Hedgehog.
What the hell?
Also, that cute little way Sonic has of stamping his foot when he can't believe you're so slow and stupid. And then it says in brackets, see slow geezer trying to play the game. Only slow geezers trying slow to play geezer. The game ever get to see that stamping animation. What is a whammy jammy, please?
A whammy jammy is when you... a whammy jammy? is that when you... It's like a team kill.
No, it's the way you feel when playing a good game.
Oh, it sure is.
I was so whammy jammy.
Sounds like a biscuit.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
No, that's a jammy whammy.
Yeah.
Gobbledygook.
Just, I take it it's not just the dictionary definition.
No. No. And I guarantee you're going to overthink all of these because none of them make sense.
Okay. It's the slime in Sonic. Gobbledygook.
It's running wild. Running fast, running all over the place without time to say, hasta la vista, baby, see Sonic the Hedgehog or Hedgy Wedgy.
What does that even mean, though? What is... you? How
Nothing.
How
it
can
doesn't...
Sega use that in a sentence?
No.
No.
No. What's your word? Scroogel.
Scroogel.
It's a real Scroogel. It's a real Scroogel.
It's running fast.
Running wild, running all over the place without time to say, hasta la vista, baby.
Wow.
Mobile mover with wings.
An enemy in Sonic. I feel like a lot of these are going to be Sonic terms.
It, of course, is what gamers will call the Game Gear. Also referred to as the Utago Cup, a Mindorama, a home away from home, and a great thing to wrap your nozzles around.
I keep forgetting about the also known as section. It just gets better.
There are like so four words for all of these things.
Yeah. Well, these are nozzles, remember? Cross your nozzles, everyone.
Cross your nozzles.
A nozzle is a nose, surely.
That's what I would assume.
Yeah, me too.
Two left. Master Blaster.
That is what people are going to call the next console from Sega.
It's what you do when you start playing the Sega Menacer Master module, which I think is maybe a light gun. I don't really know.
Right.
Or how to be a real sure shot, full tilt AccuSight kind of guy. It's so 90s, isn't it?
Ka-chow.
Finally, I was Brahms. B-R-A-H-M-S. I was Brahms.
B-R-A-H-M-S, as in the composer Brahms.
Sure.
I was really enjoying the Sonic soundtrack.
Not too far off. I was drunk with power. I was mad with passion. I was blitzed with energy. I was actually able to reach the next damn level.
Why is it Brahms?
I don't know. They didn't get the account.
Would
that
you
may
believe?
Shock you.
Right.
But they didn't actually end up getting the Sega account.
Just think, like, we all could have been known as Bossaroos.
We could have had
Jeff Keighley.
Jeff Keighley could have walked onto stage at Gamescom opening that line and been like, what's up Bossaroos?
I think we will reclaim Bossaroos.
We said it a lot last week. We just kept saying we were Bossaroos.
What's up, Bossaroos?
Someone in the comments got really annoyed. They
were
like...
You guys feeling gobbledygook?
I was Brahms, personally.
Yeah.
So Brahms. Such a hedgy-wedgy right now.
So whammy jammy. Someone got really cross at Bossaroos.
They were like, stop. They were like, Bossaroos wasn't funny. And I'm like, yes, it is. It literally is funny.
You might need to check if you got COVID, mate. Yeah. You got no taste.
Yeah, got no taste. That's it. I saw that yesterday.
Cool. Should we move on to question two?
Let's do it.
We probably should.
This comes from Callum Story. Hey, BAP. Microsoft have been trialling a family/shared Game Pass subscription in Colombia and Ireland this week. Do you think this is likely to catch on and be made a permanent feature? Would you like to see Sony and Nintendo implement something similar? Thanks, Callum.
Callum, got news for you. Nintendo already have one.
Do they?
They've got a family plan. You can add up to something like 8 accounts onto your Nintendo thing account. Your Nintendo thing account.
Yeah.
But you have to be family, living in one house, I think. That's what the internet tells me anyway. I'm not a Switch player, but I did a quick Google and seemingly Nintendo already have a family plan. This is interesting that they're doing this. I think it's a good thing to do, probably. A lot of streaming services, whether it's gaming or otherwise, have this. You know, Netflix do it, and Disney Plus, I think, have a family service.
Yeah.
It makes sense because if you've got, you know, if you're a parent and you've got maybe 3 children or something, and they all want to be playing Microsoft games or, you know, Game Pass, it's difficult, isn't it, to then be having to fork out 3 times and maybe one for yourself as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great thing to do. I do wonder, like, to what extent people are going to be able to take advantage of this, and, like, how does it know, how do any of these services, whether they're video gaming or streaming or whatever, how do they know what counts as a family or a household? Like, what's to stop just four mates or just getting a family pass together?
Well, I assume it would be like a bit like Netflix is, because Netflix, you can use it wherever you are, but you can only have like a certain amount of people watching at the same time.
Yeah.
So like you can have like, I think you can have like up to like six accounts on Netflix, but you may only have like four people allowed to watch at the same time.
And you can, certainly you used to be able to, because my family's quite big and we ran into this issue. You could pay a little bit more each month to have more people viewing.
But this was like when Netflix first became a streaming thing. So I don't know, but this is much happening as right now. But
You could also keep it locked to a system as well.
Mm. Right.
Only accounts on that, because people will take advantage regardless of what they do. They'll find a way to
do it with PlayStation.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. That's what I was going to say. And that's what Ashton does. That's what I do. I share with a friend, you share with MB. Mm. So many people do that, where they activate their friend's console as their primary console for the account, and then their friend can play their games while not signed in as them.
Yeah.
And then you have to be signed in to play your games, but you're going to be doing that anyway, so that makes total sense. But if they were to just lock it to a system where it's like there can only be one primary account and only one primary console, and when you're playing, those nominated accounts have to be playing on this console to have access to Game Pass. That could be a way to do it. There are solutions, but people find
But then it's how they police it with their other things of streaming and PC content. Because obviously if you lock it to just a console, does that mean that you then can't use the elements of Xbox Game Pass where you use it on a PC or on your phone?
I guess ultimately, where do we draw the line? Like what they will do, because like you say, people are going to take advantage of any kind of system like this. So but I guess ultimately what any company needs to do is work out what is the cost of us doing this? What is the benefit to the consumer and to us? Mm. And to what extent are people going to be taking the piss? And, you know, just look at all the numbers, basically, and say, like, are we going to lose out on a load of subscriptions by implementing this? Are we not going to lose out on so many? And, you know, people are probably going to have to pay more for a family pass than they would for an ordinary one. Mm-hmm. And just work out exactly where the line is. And if it makes business sense, then it's a good extra, you know, option to have. But
It will be about balancing, won't it, really, as much as anything else. Will they stand to potentially gain customers who otherwise wouldn't subscribe because of that scenario that you said about, you know, two or three kids and maybe you can only afford one Game Pass, so you're all using the same account. You could potentially see more money from those people, but you are going to see fewer money. I think that's correct, isn't it?
Yes.
Fewer monies from people like us who will take the piss.
Yes. And I mean, obviously we were saying like, we already take the piss a little bit with the PlayStation 1. So as much as I would like them to implement a family sharing aspect to Sony PlayStations and stuff, I don't think they will, because if they do, I'm not going to pay for it, because they already give me the opportunity to do that by enabling console sharing across different accounts on the PlayStation. Which is their stupid fault. Yeah. And if they take it back, I'm going to be very upset, because I use that all
my
the
foot.
Time.
Yeah.
But also I think with things like the PlayStation Plus and whatnot, I don't think it would harm them so much to have a family sharing system. But like you say, it's just how they would logistically figure that one out. And I don't really know the ins and outs of the Game Pass one. Like you say, how does it work? You can just install it on as many devices as you want and just log in, or do you have to have like four separate accounts? Is that what it is? Is it just like one account, but like you can only play it one at a time, but you can have four different accounts so people can have their own saves on things? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the logistics of it? Because on Steam, if you're using your family sharing library on Steam, if someone's playing it, you can't then play a different game because they're already playing it. So you can't play one of their games, like if they're logged in and playing something else. So like there is systems in place on certain things, like Steam do it kind of really well, but actually quite annoyingly. I wish they didn't. I wish they just let me live my life and stop punishing me for wanting to play their games. I do think it's a good thing, and I hope that maybe Sony will think about it. Because like you say, it's like if you've got multiple kids and you've got a PlayStation account, as much as you can have like, well, one person's got it and they can play it over all of their accounts on that console, if a kid wants to like have their own library and has their own games and stuff, then you have to pay for it again. Obviously, until they get old enough, they can pay for themselves. Bloody scroungers.
Parasites.
Parasites.
Gross.
So yeah, I think that there is a lot of room for it in the gaming market, but it is just going to have to be how it's all going to work and whether, like you say, it would be fiscally responsible for them to do so.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a great idea as well. Mm. On the PlayStation side, they could just legitimize what so many of us have been doing for so long. Mm. And, you know, instead of myself paying for PlayStation Plus and my friend paying for PlayStation Plus, what if there was some combo thing where we could pay 1.5 times and nominate 2 accounts and then just have access to the same stuff? Mm. Obviously, that wouldn't change the library sharing, which is kind of the whole point, in that I buy a game, my friend sends me half the money for it, and he's got access to it as well. But certainly there are things they could do. I wish... It's a shame that we're having to come up with ways that they could make it work for them mm. when... things like Netflix and Disney Plus and Spotify are just like, we don't, you know what? I don't care. It's not even worth putting, like, making it harder for our users. Yeah. Why not just say, here is how much it costs to be a family plan. We don't give a crap if you, I mean, we'd rather you were a family so you're not taking the piss, but we know you're going to take the piss. So just nominate 5 accounts and have at it. I'm on my friend's Spotify premium family plan. It's great. I don't pay a penny. And I don't hear adverts anymore. It's fantastic.
Nice.
And PlayStation in particular are never going to go for something like that. Mm. They will find the way to make sure that everyone is paying their fair share. But I do wish they would just not be so anal about it. You know? Just let us be free. It's time to move on to something a little peculiar, a little bizarre. It is
Weird News.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Weird News time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, you can submit weird video game news to us on Facebook and Twitter when the post goes out at the start of the week. You right, Peter?
Popular put it down and it didn't like it. It buzzed.
Popular boy over there. Mm. Additionally, if you would like to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/teamtriplejump, at a certain tier, you will be named a podcast producer and get a shout out right here at the Weird News section. And this week, Weird News is brought to you by...
Nathan.
G.Y. Goliath.
Sean Legg.
Corey Duffel.
Robin Wardle.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Katie Garrod.
And Gabrielle Philipping.
Thank you, podcast producers. Thank you so much.
I think Robin Wardle has arrived since I've been gone.
Yeah. Could be for the first time.
Welcome, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
We got pizza.
And everyone else.
And everyone else.
Yeah, sure. You guys do.
Yes. This is from Nintendo Life. It was submitted by... I'm going to have to close it to see.
Oh, no.
Johnny Mac at Johnny Mac 13 on Twitter, on the Twitter post that we put out asking for weird news.
Nice.
Super Punch Out! 2 exclamation marks, because that's how it's stylized. Mm. Hidden two-player mode discovered 28 years later. Subheading, no hacks or mods required. This is written by Liam Doolan. at 3:45 in the morning on Tuesday.
My goodness.
He was like, I need to post this
Breaking
now.
Breaking news.
There's been a historic or an historic discovery made within the 1994 Super Nintendo release Super Punch-Out today. A Twitter account known as Unlisted Cheats has uncovered a hidden two-player mode in the game. To access this option, on the game's start screen, you'll have to hold the Y and R buttons on the second player's controller, then press Start or the A button on the first player's controller. You then select the boxer for player two and have the second player hold down B and Y on their controller until the match begins. There's then an embedded tweet from Unlisted Cheats who just explains that exact thing. What's also exciting about this is that it's all on the cartridge, meaning no special hardware, accessories or hacks are required to access it. So you should be able to test it out yourself if you have a copy of the original game. Otherwise, you can test it out on the Switch online service or in other ways, it says.
Cheeky.
Nintendo Life has tried out this mode in the Switch online version of the game and can confirm it works. What do you think of this discovery? Leave a comment down below.
I won't.
What do you think, Peter?
What do you think of this discovery, Peter?
I've left a comment that says, wow.
Random.
28 years later, amazing.
That's a good comment.
That's a good comment.
Yeah. I'd like it.
That's a quality comment.
How on earth did this not... Why did none of the developers speak about
Surely,
this?
Like, this is a, would have been a really good thing to put out there into the playground rumor mill, like in, you know, about 27 years ago.
Nothing in Nintendo Power, no. Oh, by the way, there's something people have never... What's going on?
God.
Jeez, so aggressive.
So sorry.
The Slack group chat saying, oh, it's warm, isn't it?
Do you want to go to Tesco?
Get back to work.
Tesco? It might be the Tesco.
No, it's too early for Tesco.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
If someone asks,
unless you're Jack Atkins, who goes at about 11 a.m.
If it's 11 a.m. and someone asks if people want to go to Tesco, there is riot in the group chat.
There's something wrong.
How dare you?
Yeah. What was I saying? Can't even bloody remember.
Why did no one mention it? Before?
Well, no one mentioned it. Oh, there's something that people have never
found.
There. You know, because they did that with Nier Automata. Like, oh, there's one secret nobody's ever found, and that released in like 2017.
Do you remember when Notch did that for Minecraft? He said there's something that only happens like one in a million times or something, and people were looking for it, and it happened in front of people's eyes and they'd never noticed, but instead of Minecraft on the front screen it said Mince Raft. But only like one in, I don't know what it was, 1 in 100,000 booting ups. And people were just not noticing it because it's, you know, you can't see the wood for the trees, and I think people were looking in game for this secret.
Like,
what is it? Like, no, it's just Mince Raft. That's it.
Well, I mean, that's amazing, but also I'm very shocked that no one spoke about this sooner. I mean, it's a very specific thing for someone to stumble upon.
Yeah, how did they find that with the, I guess maybe the like data mining, and maybe saw it in the code or something?
Yeah, I mean, that's,
discover that?
It's hard for regular players to find, but it just in terms of the people who worked on the game, they will have known that this was in here.
Yeah, surely.
I'm kind of shocked that no one's spoken up sooner. How weird.
How weird. Weird news.
Weird news. I've got some weird news.
Yeah,
good.
It comes from Eurogamer by Matt Wales. Pac-Man is getting a live-action movie adaptation. I should add, this was submitted on Twitter by @oldmaidgames. Sorry, I forgot.
Sounded a bit like you said Pac-Man.
Pac-Man is getting a live-action movie adaptation. Wow. And then the subheading is The Maze Runner.
Good.
Oh, I see.
Get it?
Get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With Hollywood's hunger for video game adaptations still seemingly insatiable, it's now Bandai Namco's turn to get in on the action, shunting Pac-Man. Arguingly, is that supposed to be? But they've missed it out. Arguingly, gaming's most iconic mascot. Onto the big screen.
Arguingly? Surely
it says arguing gaming's most... It says arguing game's most iconic.
They messed that out, but I think it's
mascot.
Arguably.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
That's what I was thinking of, but I was like, this word doesn't make
sense. Weirdly written.
Arguably gaming's most iconic mascot.
Yes.
Onto... This is terribly written... This is like
Matt
onto the big screen in a live action movie adaptation.
What website is this?
Eurogamer.
Eurogamer. Come on, the standards are pretty high around there.
That's according to the Hollywood Reporter. Which says Bandai Namco is teaming up with Wayfarer Studios, the company behind Disney Plus's biopic Clouds, to bring Pac-Man to cinemas. Details are...
Arguing the best medium of all time.
Details are limited right now, but the movie is said to be based on the original idea by Chuck Williams, who will produce alongside Tim Kwok on behalf of Lightbeam Entertainment. If the name seems familiar, Williams is previously served as a producer on 2020's Sonic the Hedgehog adaptation.
Oh.
And like that film, Pac-Man will forego all... Pac-Man will forego an all CGI production in favour of the live action route.
Oh no.
Hopefully, the fact that Pac-Man is a big yellow circle will limit the chances of his movie design going drastically wrong.
Teeth.
How are we going to get into the emotional story of Pac-Man?
Well, it'll be it won't be the 2D like pie Pac-Man. It'll be Pac-Man World 3D.
He'll
Pac-Man
have legs
with little
and
boxing
arms.
Gloves. Right. Yeah, okay. I assume.
This isn't Pac-Man's first dalliance with Hollywood, of course, as well as starring in two short-lived animated series over the years, one of in the 80s and one in 2013. The arcade pill popper made a cameo in 2012's Wreck-It Ralph, and more recently was turned into a marauding alien invader as part of Adam Sandler's crushingly awful movie Pixels.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I've never seen that movie.
I would like to see it.
I've seen it. It's rubbish.
It's
really good, though.
Yeah. Presumably, this latest journey to the big screen is part of Bandai Namco's previously announced push to form a £96 million interconnected IP metaverse.
Brilliant.
The end.
Oh, what a story.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ashton.
Thank you, Ashton.
Okay. No problem.
Thank you, Eurogamer.
Thank you, Eurogamer.
My weird news was actually last week's weird news, and I'd like to thank the few people who posted it then, but I only stumbled across it this week. This is from Kotaku and Zach Svizen. Blatant God of War knockoff being sold on Xbox Store. It's now been taken down, I believe.
Okay.
God of War Ragnarok is one of the most anticipated games of 2022, and has people around the world hyped, as the kids say. But it's only coming to PlayStation consoles. Well, don't worry, Xbox players. Someone has spent at least 20 minutes developing an Xbox version of God of War, except it sucks, looks terrible, and is likely unauthorized by Sony.
Likely.
likely, you never know. As spotted by Eurogamer, there's a new and fairly cheap action game available on Xbox that seems to star Kratos. The game has the not at all clunky title of, and this is my favorite thing about it.
Yeah, it's really good.
War Gods, Zeus of Child.
Wow. I saw something on Twitter the other day that might have been this. I don't remember what the text said, but it was like a really weird looking Kratos that could well have been.
It's like the Fortnite skin Kratos.
Yeah,
it's bizarre.
Yeah.
War Gods, Zeus of Child,
yeah.
And is available for $4.09 in the US. Seems like a deal until you see the game in action. The game has no sound effects or music, limited animations that are easily broken, and there's no real depth to it. It's just waves of the same enemy attacking Kratos over and over as he flails about, killing them and earning a point for each one vanquished. Nearly everything in the game looks to be an asset ripped from somewhere else, including the enemies, which seem to be a monster from a Resident Evil game. Also, the title screen for the game has a different name, God of Warning.
That might be what I saw.
Here's the description of the game from its actual store page, which looks worryingly identical to any other game on the Xbox store. War Gods Zeus of Child is a great war game. Destroy all enemies and creatures with the Zeus War Gods of Challenge. Kill them all with your gun. Launch attacks with various combos. Reach the highest monster kills without dying. Feel the power of the warning god.
Oh, it's got me Brahms.
Really Brahms. Anyway.
This is why I became a Bossaroo.
Yeah. This is their peak, but only real Bossaroos know War God Zeus of Child.
Will we show Peter the picture that's at the top of the article?
Yeah, sure. I think this is the main menu.
Yeah.
Let me just get a full screen of that bad boy. Here he comes. Here's War Gods, Zeus of Child. There he is.
Oh my God! No, I don't think that is what I've seen. I've seen some other rip-off of God of War recently.
Sorry, War God.
Zeus of Child.
Zeus of Child. And that's my weird news. Dreadful.
Dreadful.
Absolutely dreadful.
Terrible.
Thank you so much. It's time to move on to question three.
Question three comes from Conroy Milk, who says, greetings, BAP, and big congratulations to Tiny Peter. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Tiny Peter.
Thank you.
Wiser. Thank you. Thank you,
Colin. You're welcome.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Pete. Congratulations, Peter.
Have there ever been any antagonists in a video game that you didn't want to defeat? Whether this is because you knew doing so would mean they likely wouldn't appear in the series again, you secretly kind of like them, or you could even sympathize with them. Conversely, have there ever been any bad guys or girls that you just couldn't wait to fight because they were just that annoying slash evil? As a huge Borderlands fan, I was quite sad when I had to kill Handsome Jack because I knew doing so would mean he likely wouldn't appear again in a prominent role in the series. Thank you for the countless hours of laughs and entertainment you guys have provided over the many years. Much love, Conroy Milk.
Thank you, Mr. Milk. Conroy. And thank you, Tiny Peter.
You're welcome, Ben.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Mr. Milk.
Thank you so much. Peter,
yeah.
What's your answer to this question?
At the time, I didn't necessarily think about the fact that I might never see this character in a video game again. But now in hindsight, I'm always a little bit reluctant to kill Gnasty Gnork in Spyro the Dragon because I wish we'd seen more of him later on in the series. I believe he did come back in one of the really bad post-Insomniac games and he looked completely different. But I'm always a bit like, oh no. Don't want to kill Nasty. I want to fight him again in Spyro 2 and Spyro 3. Also, in a similar vein, I sometimes felt bad about fighting Dr. Neo Cortex, especially in Crash 3, because I kind of felt a bit sorry for him. He just looks... He's so sad about the fact he's constantly being defeated by a bandicoot in shoes.
Yeah.
And he talks, I think, on more than one occasion throughout that game that he just has headaches. He's just like unwell.
He's so stressed.
He is, yeah.
Stress migraines.
Yeah, and you're like defeating all of his minions and he's like, oh my God, it's happening again. It's like the third time. And then when you finally defeat him, he just says like that he just wants bags of ice for his head. That's his dream now.
And he's got a big head as well.
He's got a big head, yeah. So I always felt a little bit sorry for him. I can kind of sympathize. In terms of bad guys I was looking forward to fighting, I couldn't really think of like a standout one particularly. I'm sure there must be many. But maybe I remember going through Kingdom Hearts and you constantly learning about this guy called Ansem, who is writing reports about the Heartless, who are like the evil force. And he's like studying them and stuff. And then as time goes on, as you're reading his reports and stuff, you notice that he's like getting corrupted and stuff. And it becomes clear that like, okay, I think this guy's going to be the big bad. And then when you finally come into the fight and you're there and like Sora's like, Ansem, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be cool. Like there was like a big build up to this moment and like this character. And then it was a bit like, it wasn't very satisfying in the end. But I remember like before the fight feeling like, oh, it's this guy who I've read about all the way through this game. So that was kind of intriguing as a boss fight, if nothing else. But yeah, couldn't really think of one where I was like, I really wanted to defeat someone because they were so evil and needed to get their comeuppance. But yeah, don't know. Ashton?
I think Handsome Jack is a really good answer and probably would have been my answer had it not been in the question. But other ones I thought of were Lady D in Resident Evil 8.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of disappointed at how early on that we lose her because she was like in all the marketing over the place and like a really interesting character.
Didn't
step on anyone one time.
No.
And I just, yeah, I was really kind of like, oh, I don't want to kill her now. Like I want to play the rest of the game and her still be there, you know, being mean to me and telling me off and just being big and, you know, that's what I want. But, yeah, so I was disappointed that we had to end her so early. And then also Vaas in Far Cry 3.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, he doesn't make it to the end of the game, which was a big shame because I was kind of hoping that I'd like, you know, we'd get to have a big thing and it'd be like a real big battle and he could keep being weird and crazy and having a weird, like, he keeps saying things about insanity all the time. Like, I kind of wanted him to just stick around.
He never told us what the definition of insanity
is. No, he didn't. It didn't say someone. But yeah, but also, he was in the end of one of the DLCs in Far Cry 6.
Yeah, he was.
Where he's still alive. Maybe. I don't know if that was real or if it was just like a...
But the DLC was crap.
The DLC was, yeah. But I finished him and he was still there. He was still alive. So maybe we will get more Voss, but yeah, I was disappointed in that. And an enemy that I actually didn't get the chance to kill, but I would have liked to kill. And he's still, every time I see the guy who played him in like other things, Silence from Horizon Zero Dawn and Horizon Forbidden West, I hate that man with burning passion. Like every time he comes up on my screen, I'm like, get away.
You were the baddie in the first game.
I hate you. But like, he just mugs you off all the time. And then they were like, we've got to team up. And I was like, I don't want to team up. Just kill him. I don't like him. He's annoyed me. And now whenever I see the actor, because obviously it's like his face in the game, I'm like, God, I hate that guy. And he's done nothing to me, but he played Silence. I've not been given the opportunity to kill him. And obviously, if they do make a third Horizon, which they have set up at the end of the second one, hopefully, please give me the opportunity to just... just kill
bop him.
I hate him
just
so
bop
much.
Him
just
one. Bop Maybe him they'll so let you bad. Do it in VR. Bop
Maybe,
him. But then
yeah.
it won't... Do you play as Aloy in the VR game?
No, it's a different story.
So they probably won't give the satisfaction to anyone else, will they?
No. But I didn't even get the chance to kill him, which was sad.
I'm sorry. That's a shame. Well, you know.
I had another answer, but I got so excited, like angry about Silence that I forgot to write it down and then forgot. I just thought about it then again and then forgot
again. And
now
it's gone again. Okay. Yeah. Well, I have one and I'm surprised neither of you mentioned this actually. This is a spoiler. This is a spoiler for The Last of Us Part 2.
Right. I was going to say talk about this, but... I just couldn't be arsed.
Skip ahead literally 5 minutes if you have not played The Last of Us Part 2 and you don't want to hear the spoiler.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The last boss fight against Abby was horrible. I didn't want to do it.
Oh, right, yeah. I thought you were going to say someone you're really looking forward to killing.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, that end bit, because you've... At
that
the halfway
game,
point
though,
of the...
To be fair, that whole game, there was like multiple points in that game where I was like, I don't want to do this, I'm being given no choice.
Yeah. Because you, the player, has knowledge that the character doesn't have.
Yeah.
And so Ellie is on this sort of almost suicidal drive for revenge. And... you know, all she sees is red whenever she comes near Abby. So even though she technically rescues Abby, she's traveled to that place to kill Abby.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose for her being there. So she cuts her down from like that horrible torture place where she's up like on a beach getting sun dried or whatever. And then it's just like, right, we've got to fight now. And Abby's like, please, you've got to stop. And it makes you... It makes you fight her, and it's awful. And I did not want to do it at all. And I've spoken to people who said that they actively didn't just to see what would happen, and it plays a game over screen. Like it forces you to fight Abby, and it's terrible. I just hated it, that whole thing. That whole last bit was so horrible and harrowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things that when you watch a movie and like something, it's just you kind of have to sit through something that's so horrible to watch.
Mm.
But no, it's so much worse when you're playing a video game because you've suddenly got the autonomy of like, press square to have a fight. And I'm like, I don't want
to
fight.
Time to drown this poor person who at the halfway point of the game you think is a villain, but then you play as her for like 10 hours and you sort of see her perspective a little bit. And they're both in the wrong, but like they probably shouldn't be trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's so horrible. So that immediately sprung to mind as a boss or an antagonist that I really didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
But in terms of bosses that I was looking forward to fighting, none truly sprang to mind, but I just wanted to voice my frustrations, particularly in the realm of Borderlands and Wonderlands, where they have a habit of showing you the big bad and making you, like in a cutscene, and making your character look like a complete chump because you just stand there in first person and watch the baddie do something horrible. And it's like, I know I could destroy them right now if you just let me play. Like they have cutscene immunity. And it really takes me out of the experience. Borderlands 3 was really bad for it. Like Tyreen, I know I could have defeated at any point in that game, but in every cutscene that she appears in, you're powerless and
you're not even
there.
You're not even in the cutscenes. Like the characters supposedly stood 1 meter to the left.
Just
and they're
watching
like...
all this happen, doing that. And it's like, if you let me fight her, I would. Mm. Or games that do that thing where you'll have a fight against them. You will absolutely kick their ass and then it'll trigger a cutscene. They'll go, ooh, you haven't won the war, and they'll hop on their spaceship and go away. Disappear. While apparently you just stand there and watch them do it. It's like, nah, just finish it. I know that I can. I know that I can kill them right now if you let me kill them right now. So yeah, maybe Tyrene is one I was looking forward to killing because the game lets you get that close so many times.
But it's not even like, because some games do it where it's like, here's an enemy that when you first encounter them and they do some damage, you could not have done anything about because of like certain situations. There's a moment in Horizon Forbidden West where like, I won't spoil it, but you meet a character who you can't do anything about at that time. And then it's only at the end when you've like figured out some stuff and talked to bloody Silence again, and you can actually like defeat the character because they've like got something wrong with them, you can't do anything about it. So that I kind of don't mind, but it's when it's just like he's literally sat like this far away and you're like,
you're just watching like, let me play, just let me play.
What a shame that that character died. Wish I could have done something about it.
Like Kratos gets defeated in a cutscene. It's like, well, hang on just a minute. Let me play that fight.
I'll do
then
it.
We'll see. Then we'll flip and see what happens, huh?
Yeah.
I'm the real Zeus of Sun. Child, whatever.
Fair,
Zeus
about,
of Child.
Talking about God of War, I didn't really like the fight that you had to do at the end of God of War, like that whole thing of like knowing who Freya was.
And yeah, that was kind of uncomfortable as well.
That whole thing. And just having
set
to
it up nicely
that.
For that sequel, though, doesn't it?
I know.
It?
And I'm hoping that
she's
I really
crossed.
Don't want to fight her in Ragnarok, so but I feel like we might end up having to do
I
so
think
but
that
just,
might happen
make me a bit sad.
One boss I was happy to, I was looking forward to defeating. Actually, I've thought of one that really does count is I can't remember his name, but the annoying friend you've got in Bully. So when you first start at the school, there's this sort of little weedy kid and then also this kind of sociopathic really horrible guy, and they become your little immediate circle of friends, and he's just an asshole to you and to the little kid and to like everyone else, and you go through the whole thing, he's just constantly being a dick and you're just sort of letting him do that, and then you become king of the school by getting all the cliques to like you, and he sort of vanishes, and then you know that eventually, you know, he's clearly going to be like the final boss, and then when you confront him, it's like, hell yeah, this guy has been an actual dick all the way through the game. And I can't wait to punch him in the face.
I'm ready.
I've remembered the one I forgot.
Yep.
The Riddler from, I know he's not in Arkham Asylum, but the more I play Arkham Asylum and the more he tells me off for solving his puzzles, like, oh, you stupid little gremlin, you figured out my puzzle. And I'm like, well, if it's so easy to find, then why are you telling me that I'm so stupid? And then like the whole game, and then people on stream, I've been playing this on stream, and everyone in chat keeps saying, oh, the Riddler's my boyfriend. And because they're like, why have you hate him so much? It must be
my
your
God,
boyfriend.
Just kiss
and I'm like, no.
Just kiss Riddler.
I hate the Riddler. Like, he really annoys me. And every time I've solved one of his puzzles, I'm just waiting for the, oh, so stupid. Stupid little Batman. And I'm like, go away. Leave me alone. Who gave you this number?
Is that how boyfriends work?
No, I don't think so.
It must be your boyfriend,
school, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not even your boyfriend. It's like, you fancy him.
You
yeah,
fancy Riddler.
You
if you're so smart, why don't you let me punch you, huh?
Yeah.
That'll show you.
Right. Right.
Idiot.
Anyway. It's time to move on to the big discussion. Big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion this week. The big discussion comes courtesy of Nikki P, who says, hello, Bap. What are your thoughts on a new Nintendo console? Since the Wii, they haven't really pushed technologies. Rather, they have leaned on motion control /3D/dual screen/portable console, singular. Do you think they will target a more powerful console and get third-party support that can rival Sony and Microsoft? Or will they continue down their own path? Love your works. Calling it works makes it sound like we're authors.
Yeah.
The complete works of Triple
Brahms.
Jump. Of Brahms. The complete Brahms. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Nikki.
Just for clarity there, I think you accidentally said, what are your thoughts on the new Nintendo console?
So oh, if anyone I? Is sorry. No, there's no
watching,
confirmation of a new...
some new console.
No, that's not what I meant.
The question is about what will they do or should they do?
Mm. Yes.
I think they should and will stay in their niche, stay in their lane. They are intentionally not trying to compete like for like with Sony and Microsoft. I mean, even Sony and Microsoft, you could argue, have sort of their own niches now, or kind of looking ahead to the future. I suspect Microsoft will go more and more towards Game Pass as a as the kind of the main part of their business. I'm not saying they're not going to make a new console in the next generation necessarily, but everyone seems to really be settling into something, their own little USP now. And I think Nintendo have probably been doing that longer than Sony and Microsoft have. So, I mean, in terms of actual technology and, you know, motion controls and dual screen and portable console and all that kind of thing, I don't know necessarily what direction they should go, but I think they're going to continue to just focus on Mario and Zelda and, you know, all the stuff that they've been recycling for years and years to great effect, and probably bring out a new console with some kind of interesting quirk to it. You know, the Wii had that.
And maybe the new one will have pedals.
Might
yeah.
do. The Wii had that. The 3DS, you could argue, had its own technological, you know, little USP. The Switch as well. It's the first console that really can be moved around in different forms like that. It'd be portable or a home system. So I'm sure that they will, whatever they do next, there will be some kind of interesting thing that no one has done before, or not in a kind of mainstream way. But yeah, I suspect they will carry on just like staying in their own lane.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think they're going to stray much far from what they know, because, I mean, they haven't for a very long time strayed much further than the games that they know will do well.
Yeah.
But I don't really know what they will do next. I feel like they've kind of, like, the Switch is kind of the ultimate of what they were trying to do. Like, obviously they've got the OLED and they could bring out a more powerful Switch with, like, maybe a bigger screen and stuff. But then it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't know if people would want that because it's small and portable enough to, like, just whack in a bag. The Steam Deck is really big, which is their only kind of, like, current, and it's not on the same level at all. It's their only kind of similar thing out there at the moment is the Steam Deck. And obviously that hasn't got a removable controllers on the side, so that it hasn't got the motion controls, but that's a lot bigger than the Switch, and I can see that being an issue because it's so much bigger. But then, like, I just think that maybe what Nintendo will do is potentially just streamline what they've got, make it better, make it more high quality, make the screen better, and just kind of make it so that people who, like us, who none of us are really Switch kids, I don't really think anyone in the office is a diehard Switch fan.
No, James plays on his a fair amount, I think, but no.
There's the odd game that will entice me to play on the Switch, but I, you know, not enough that I would be, like, desperate to get the next console that they bring out. But I think maybe what they should potentially do is just look at, like, branching out of what kind of content is on the Switch and, like, what kind of thing the games they're producing are. Obviously, there's, like, hundreds and hundreds of games on the Nintendo Switch store, but a lot of them are a bit weird. They hit their niche, but for
yeah,
the most
it's a good place
part,
for indie yeah, games.
It is a good place for indie games. But there is definitely a lot that I think that could be done on the Switch that they aren't currently doing. But in terms of the console, I don't know what they'll do next. Like, I don't know where they can go from here that would, like, make sense for them.
But I kind of feel like they've always done that, though. Like, I think the Wii kind of came a bit out of nowhere. Like, I'm not saying they were the first people to ever come up with motion controls, but I don't think anyone necessarily expected Nintendo to go, bam, motion control console.
Yeah.
And then the Switch even was a bit of a surprise that, like, hey, we've got this thing. It's not just a console. It can do all, it can do these three things. And that's like, oh, okay. Like, I wouldn't have predicted that necessarily as a piece of technology. So I think, although I agree, like, I don't know where they will go next. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought out something new that, like, had this strange technological USP that, like, no one had seen coming.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll give us a home console again and go, like, back to what the Wii did and see if they can just do the Wii but better, or they'll stick with the handheld portable situation and go from there.
Maybe going to VR.
Maybe. Maybe.
I've literally written stay in their lane in full caps. There's no need to try and compete with PlayStation or Xbox, which, while they are starting to diverge a little bit, as you said, Peter, with Game Pass and stuff, they are largely very similar systems doing very similar things. And your choice may come down to cost, especially with Game Pass being very good value, or it may just come down to preference. And that's it. The last time the Switch did, or Nintendo, sorry, did third-party games really was on the Wii U. But those always had to have additional support for the gamepad. And those didn't go too well. The Wii U didn't go too well. Mm. The Wii, all of their third-party games had to be specifically crafted for it because it was a very different system. DS as well, and 3DS, all very different. They have done so well without seeing those major third-party games on there. They clearly do not need them. Mm. They could make a more powerful console. I would imagine that would be their next goal, is to make a more powerful system, obviously. But I don't think it will take a different form necessarily. I think they've really stumbled onto something very special here. I don't know what they would call it, if it would be the Switch 2, because I don't think they've ever done a direct sequel to a console apart from the NES to the SNES. That was the most similar naming convention.
But they've the 3DS.
Yeah.
Yes,
or
yes,
DS,
exactly.
DS Lite.
But they've
or
really...
Or Wii to Wii U.
Or Game Boy to Game Boy.
All right, okay, yeah. They all played the same games, but that's not my point. Anyway, they've never done a direct sequel that has a... I nearly swore. A number on the end.
No.
So I think they will... I think they really have, as you said, Ashton, they've hit upon their ultimate form here. I don't think they can now step back and say, you know that Switch that's really good and you can play as a home console or on the go? We would like you to buy two systems again now, please. We'd like you to buy a home console and we'd like you to buy a portable console. Yeah. I think this is a perfect space for them and they need to stay in this lane. They don't need third-party support. They can't really go back to a dedicated home system and a dedicated handheld, because I think that would be a bad look, unless they did three SKUs of their next system, which was a dedicated home one, which is more powerful and looks nicer on a television, a dedicated handheld version, which is cheaper but cannot be used at home, and a hybrid version, which is sort of a mixture of the both.
Yeah.
The two. They could do that, but that would be expensive to release three very different systems that largely do the same thing, and also would require developers to produce essentially three different versions of the same game. All that is to say that the Switch is absolutely flying. It is roughly on 111 million units sold so far, which puts it as the third best-selling home console of all time behind the PS4, which has 117 million. Switch is going to pass that for sure. It's definitely going to do it.
When was the Switch released?
Like 2016 or 17? Mm. It came out when we were at What Culture.
Yeah.
I think it might have been 2017.
17.
It's not been that long. It's definitely got a few years left in it if they want that. And that's not to say that they might do some sort of interstitial Switch Pro that's been rumored for a long time.
Yeah, because we've obviously got the Switch Lite, which was like the cheaper version, and obviously the OLED Switch. Mm-hmm. But I think that whatever they do next, like in terms of they make that handheld, it's going to have to be like really good. Like they're going to have to make a lot of changes, make a lot of adjustments and bring it up to like the next level. Because for a lot of people, they'll be like, well, why would I bother buying a new one when my Switch still works just as fine and the screen looks the same? Like the OLED, I really don't think that like anyone would need to buy the OLED. Mm. There was nothing about it that was like, you must buy this.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think that like eventually, obviously the Switch will become, if you've had a Switch that you bought in 2017, eventually you're going to have to buy a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But whether the next one people will make the jump, they'll have to bridge like that gap in terms of like what it can do. Because I think a lot of people were skeptical about the PS5 and how much different it could be given like the technology that we had at the moment. And a lot of people still haven't bought a PS5 because either they can't get one or they still don't see any need to. Mm-hmm. So I think it would have to make that jump be like significant enough that the average Switch player, which is a very different person, I think, than the average PlayStation or Xbox player, would want to make that jump over to the new one.
When is Labo 2 coming out?
Me too.
Labo Pro.
I want Labo 2. I just hope that whatever they follow this up with, assuming it's in the same vein, they just name it something normal.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt to just put a 2 on the end.
Switch 2.
You know, don't like the Switch or something, the Switch U, just stop. Just make it, surely they must learn from the Wii U, which part of the problem was that it was horribly marketed because that name was so hard for average people to understand.
Yeah.
Average consumers, like, what is the Wii U? Is that the Wii? What is the U mean?
Yeah.
What is that? Just call it something sensible. That's all. Mm. It could also, I think, almost no effort. They could do this now with the Switch if they wanted. Cater better to it being some sort of home media platform. Put more media apps on it. Put Netflix on it, YouTube, Disney Plus. Let people stream stuff on it.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's not on there. That may
work. PS5 is still a bit lacking on apps, I would say.
Some of them don't even support 4K either, which is crap. I remember booting up YouTube on my Xbox and thinking, wow, it looks amazing. Why does it look so crap on my PS5? But yeah, I think there's things they could change about the Switch right now that would qualify as being a really good change. But if they wanted to wait until the next console. Anyway, I don't think they should compete with Xbox and Microsoft, Xbox and PlayStation. There's no point. There's just no need for it. They're doing fantastically. They're going to take that number two slot from the PS4 very soon in terms of best-selling consoles.
Yeah.
Don't think they'll get to the PS2 because that's like 40 million away. I don't think there's that many more Switches to be sold. But still. There are our thoughts. Let us know what you think in the comments below, my bossaroos.
Bossaroos.
Peter is going to tell you where on the internet you can find us if you want to get involved.
YouTube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump is where all of our content goes out, our live streams, our videos. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a Twitch sub with that, so you can spend that on us if you like. When we are streaming on both Twitch and YouTube, we're modded by Lord Brotovich, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. So if they tell you to do something, Ashton,
bloody well do it.
Twitter.com and Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. Head over there for video and live stream announcements, video content like legacy video content. Facebook Lives, I think, might now be possible again. Hello?
It's a toilet seat.
Fraser looks after our Twitter and our Facebook. I was just about to say something about Twitter and Facebook as well, but it's immediately gone out of my head because of the toilet noise that happened through the wall. TikTok.com/@TeamTripleJump. You can go there for our TikTok, where we do TikToks. Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. Loads of rewards available over on Patreon. You can see videos early. You can get access to the super secret extra podcast and loads of other things too. So go and check those out. If I remember what I was going to say about Twitter and Facebook, I'll tell you. But if not, I won't. So
cool. We have a website. It's triplejump, triplej.map. It spells jump. Isn't that clever? If you want to join our Discord and hang out with our wonderful community, why not go to triplej.map/Discord. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if they tell you to do something, bloody well do it. If you're listening to the podcast in its audio forms, why not go to triplejet.map/podcast? If you want to catch up on any of the VODs that you've missed this week, why not go to triplejet.map/VODs and check up on the streams? If you want a cameo from any of us, why not go to triplejet.map/cameo? Me, Ben and Peter and James Jenkins are on cameo if you fancy one. If you want to buy some merch, why not go to triplejumpshop.com? You can buy some cool merch. Do you think the hoodies are still available? These hoodies.
I think this might still be on there.
Yeah, the track jacket's available as well.
So there's still stuff on there for you guys to have a look at. And if you want to find out when the new merch comes out, why not go to @TripleJumpShop on Twitter. And lastly, if you want to donate to the Trevor Project in the name of charity, it's triplej.map/charity.
Certainly is. Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter @ThatPeterAustin and @ScrambledAshton and myself just on Twitter @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On YouTube, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday being solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday and shows, Ashton's updated it now, all the bloody time.
All the bloody time it says.
So come check out the channel if you haven't already. There's loads of stuff going on. Why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. Thank you, everyone. This is the weirdest games ever week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cargo. Was there a subheading?
A Quest for Gravity.
A Quest for Gravity. It's very good. It's a good episode.
It's extremely weird.
Yeah.
Very weird. So come check that out. Additionally, there was the Quipscope for Two Point Campus. That would have appeared on this podcast feed if you're listening to the audio version of this. But additionally, it's on the channel now if you want to see some gameplay too.
Yes.
We don't know for sure because James Jenkins is currently working on it, but Starfield, we've made a video about that, sort of examining the bold claims of Todd Howard. 1,000 planets, Todd, are you mental?
How big
is too big?
1,000 planets.
When it comes to open world video games, James, having read through his script, he's got a spreadsheet where he's put together all of the biggest map sizes versus critical consensus.
Oh.
And he's mathematically worked out how big is too big. So it's not just about Starfield.
There is an exact answer.
It's a general conversation with science about how big open world games are and if there is a too big. If there's a point where it's like, that's too much. So I don't know if that's going to be ready because James is juggling that and Worst Games Ever edits. And I believe he's still aiming for a, at the time of recording, Friday release. But if you don't see it this week, you will see it next week. It should be with you very soon. Oh, what else we got? Of course, Philip. We love you, Philip. As Ashton said, JJU.MP/charity. We're raising money for Philip all of this week. Donate if you can. And look after yourselves out there. There will be some helplines in the pinned comment underneath this video.
Not a good time to sneeze.
Oh my God.
I thought you were going to suddenly go, and make sure that you talk to your friends and family if you need to. Bless you.
Thank you.
Finally, once again, Peter, what is the sponsor this week?
The sponsor this week is, as Ben just said, it's the Trevor Project. It's our fundraiser. We're not officially sponsored by the Trevor Project.
No, we're not.
Make that clear.
It's just in the slot.
But yes, JJU.MP/charity in memory of Philip J. Reed.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for watching, everybody, and listening. And more so than ever, look after yourselves.
Mm.
And we will see you next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.